Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now. And if the elevator tries to break you down, go crazy, punch a higher floor.
Take a look around. At least you got friends. I call my old lady for a friendly word. She picked up the phone, dropped it on the floor. That's all I heard. I'm not gonna let the elevator break us down. No, no, let's go. Let's go crazy.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I've not been asked what my opinion is about how we should spend the ARPA money. You know, I wasn't here when that happened. I guess there were a couple times the council voted in 2021 about how that money would be spent. I don't get a lot of chances to talk to our mayor. My last meeting was about 10 minutes long. It was right up against an agenda conference, so I didn't really have a chance to talk about ARPA. When I served under Mayor Hayward, I met with him one time, and under Mayor Reeves, I thought it would be different. I thought I'd have regular meetings. We started out that way, and it's changed since then. Now it's very rare that we get to meet. We were told that we could then meet, or at least I was told I could meet with Alex, and then I had one meeting where I met with Alex, and I met with the mayor. Now the meetings are just few and far between.
So, City Councilman Charles Baer, in the City Council meeting, talking about how he doesn't have access to the mayor and how he's frustrated by that, and you could tell by the tone of his voice, you know, and from the content of the things that he was saying, that he was hoping to be able to meet with the mayor or Alex Smith, as a chief of staff for the mayor, a little bit more frequently than he has been able to. You know, sometimes when you're having a problem with somebody... it's frustrating and you want to say something in public. What's usually the least effective way to accomplish what you want is, John? To say something in public.
Right. Sorry, it's early.
Usually the better way to approach this is, hey, DC. When can we talk? I would like to meet with you once a month. Can we just have a sit down once a month and put it on the calendar for the, you know, the first day of, you know, just pick a day of the week. I don't care. At 1 o'clock, you know, it doesn't matter. Right. You know, I'll meet you at 11 p.m. on a Saturday, every second Saturday of the month, you know, because what happens when you go in public is, and I think what Charles thinks is, this winds up making D.C. look bad. And maybe it does. Okay? Remember that old, mean, nasty Ashton Hayward? Nah, I never got to meet with him either. You know, like, and I get it. I know Charles has got lingering frustrations from his first go-around in the city council. But I think it just winds up making Charles look bad. And that's sad because I like Charles Baer. I think Charles is smart. Charles has a history. He's a veteran. He cares about the city. I think sometimes that Charles, unfortunately, has a way of saying and doing things that kind of gets in his own way a little bit. But, I mean, I think it makes everybody look bad. And that's why, you know, not to quote the Bible at 5:12 in the morning, but, you know, the Bible says if you've got a problem with your brother, go and talk to him in person. And then if they won't change, then you know... Right? You gradually expand the zone of publicity. But talk to him in person because, you know, little grace hides a matter, right? And so I feel for Charles because he wants to have influence and he wants to know what's going on, and yet he doesn't, and he's frustrated, and I get that. It's just a question of how you solve that problem. And saying it in front of, you know, Andrew McKay and the whole world doesn't... I don't think it's going to accomplish what you want.
I don't really get an opportunity to share what I think ARPA money should be spent on, or any money for that matter. And most of what I learn is from press conferences. That's why I asked Don if he could do a summary of what happens in the press conferences so I'd know what we were going to see in the next agenda. We're not invited to the press conferences, just so you know. So a lot of the things that we find out is through that. If not, it's on the agenda.
Can somebody please invite Charles Baer to the press conferences? Or, I don't know, maybe just watch him online? That's what I do. You know, I watch them online. I don't go to the press conferences. I used to, and I just decided that since we talked to the mayor on Wednesdays, and maybe it's not fair for me to say, you know, because I get to talk to the mayor once a week, I guess, you know, Charles wants to too, and it's fine. I just, again, I think this, it just sounds whiny, sad. And I don't want Charles Baer to sound whiny and sad. You know what I mean? He's a good guy. So, he doesn't get to have input on the ARPA funds. He doesn't get invited to the city council, you know, the mayor's press conferences. He gets most of his news from the press conferences. I like the idea of Don Crayer, who's a city council executive. I like Don doing summaries of the press conferences. I think that's smart. I think there's a lot of times where there's missed opportunities for people to inform, like, board members and mayors and things, just, you know, kind of like by doing internal communications. External communication, that's talking with the world, and internal communication is talking amongst yourselves. And I know, you know, sunshine will prevent some of these things, but sunshine doesn't prevent everything. Sunshine certainly would have no impact on somebody being able to, you know, send the notes from the presser over to, you know, the city council. Or you could just watch the presser. I mean, I don't know, either way. So the context here, the conversation started by they were talking about the American Rescue Plan Act money that's going to – basically the hang-up here is they've got to get this money not spent by the end of this year, but they've got to get it – I think the technical term, the right one, is it's got to be encumbered. If I got that wrong. It basically has to be assigned to something by the time the year – and then there's a deadline for when they have to actually spend it, okay? So if they don't have it assigned, we just lose it. Just goes right back to the federal government to drop in the giant, you know, Lake Superior of the federal budget. Just bloop, bye. But the question was reallocating some of the money towards two projects. Number one, city hall security upgrades. And number two was a two-waying of Martin Luther King Jr. Drive and Davis Highway, which, of course, a long time ago were two-way, and then they got turned into the one-way. And then they built I-110, and now nobody uses those, not the way they used to. And so they're not needed as one-ways, and people drive real fast through there, and so it's dangerous. And remember, Mayor Robinson was the one who had started trying to get this changed. And so, you know, these are two things that they were talking about reallocating the money from. You know, honestly, I forget what the original allocation was, where it was going to, but it was they were going to reallocate it over here. Well, Charles Baer in this conversation says, I'm not on board.
Like I said, it's not the highest priority in our metropolitan area. And, you know, future funding beyond the design phase, if we're able to fund the design, the construction, we're going to have to figure out a place to get that money from. So this is just the first step. And if you look at all the transportation needs we have in our community and in our metropolitan area, is this really the greatest one? I don't think so. Have you ever driven on Fairfield or Bayou or Airport in the afternoon? Have you driven on University Parkway leading into Davis Highway? There's lots of needs out there. And I can't get behind this one. It's one of the biggest ones we have in our city.
Yeah, I actually agree with him that priority-wise, it's probably not the highest. But the question of doability, and the reason this is on the agenda is because FDOT is going to resurface those roads. And, you know, the thing that we have learned, and we had never learned for a long time, and now we finally are starting to get the idea, is if one government agency is going to be doing reconstructive surgery on a road surface, ECUA, City of Pensacola, you know, Santa Rosa County, and state, FDOT, feds, whoever's involved, you know, Florida Power and Light, because everybody's got an interest in these things, depending on what kind of utilities they've got going on there. If one group is going to be doing road work, can we not get all the problems related to that road at the same time instead of having to tear it up and fix it and tear it up and fix it and tear it up and fix it? So the idea here is that FDOT's going to be doing resurfacing. Oh, in a couple of years, maybe we can, you know, piggyback with them, find some grant money, reallocate this for a study, and then, you know, put it all together. So, but Charles Baer says, no, this is not the highest, best use for that money. I'm not going to do that. Also,
I don't really know what the issue is with security. I don't know what bringing security up to code means. I don't know what code of security there is. But all I know is Carolyn used to help you get where you needed to go, and now we have a roadblock to get where you need to go, okay? And when Mayor Hayward was in, he put several $100,000 in to harden the seventh floor. Didn't do a thing for council. We've done renovations to this building, and we've done some security upgrades already. But we've already spent from the ARPA money $400,000, almost $400,000, just to redo these chambers. And I don't see a huge change to what's here.
And he says that really the ARPA funds are supposed to be going to help the homeless.
It doesn't have to happen now. I mean, just because the
security
FDOT
upgrades.
Is resurfacing doesn't mean this has to happen. And it's a much more expensive and invasive procedure to two-lane the roads. So it's not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
For either one.
You know, as this council considers the potential criminalization of camping, I really think we need to focus on the limited dollars we have and using those for the proper expenditures, not so we can feel safer in City Hall. I'm not going to support this item tonight because I believe there are more pressing needs for our citizens than building security or making Davis and MLK Jr. drive two-way streets.
So there's an aspect of this I agree with. You know, I also think it's weird to use ARPA money on, you know, two-waying a road. I mean, but the ARPA money is so crazy to begin with, all the things you can and cannot use it for, and things that seem to have really nothing to do with COVID-19 or, you know, handling the health issues. So remember, because that was kind of the original, right, was health issues, people who are displaced, sanitation, you know, when we were worried that, like, stormwater and stuff was going to... I mean, there was a whole bunch of things connected to ARPA money that it later... I mean, even... And I kind of hate to say it because there's been so much of a boondoggle around the internet access. But internet access was directly related to COVID-19 because all of a sudden you have kids not in school or people who are on, you know, isolation and they can't go to work, but they need to be able to work or whatever. That's actually sort of in the zone of things that are related to the source of the money or the problems that the money was originally allocated to solve. So I'm not saying that any of the things that they're trying to do with this money are not allowed. I'm just saying that conceptually, I get where Charles is coming from. You know, the primo targets, less primo targets, and eventually targets that are allowed but don't make much sense. But the problem is you got 2 months. And how are you going to come up with a spend for this money in the next 2 months? You know, it's all fine and good on principle to say no to this, but what's your yes? You know, what's the thing that you're going to actually be able to accomplish to get enough of the justification together that in 2 months you can encumber these funds? Jen Brayer, for her part, City Council Member Jen Brayer.
First off, I've been on the Eastside Redevelopment Committee for 2 years, and I know that this is a top priority to get this two-wayed. However, we just went through this process for the redesign of Hollis T. Williams, and those engineers said this is going to be a ridiculously expensive interchange when you get to the north end of Davis. So when they were redesigning, they said that we can theoretically look at it, but that it's a very heavy lift. The way you've got the two roads coming into each other and you have to crossing it over of different traffic going one way and the other way. And so they're very concerned. They were concerned at those meetings that this would be well into the future.
And so what she's talking about, in case you're not familiar with the roads, is right there at the off-ramp to I-110 south of Fairfield, because that's where Davis Highway splits into the two, right? You know, going south, there's kind of a fork in it. Well, how do you fix that? What do you do with that interchange? A roundabout had been proposed in the past. I don't think anybody's really talking about that anymore. But she says that's the expensive part. You know, many, many millions of dollars. What was her exact expression? They told me that it's going to be, the engineer said super expensive. You don't know who else to hear that. But she says it's important. It is an important thing. But she also agrees that really the money ought to be going to.
And I believe that we intended this to go to our homelessness issues. And I have to, at least, it has to be a consideration that we may very well need this money ASAP if we pass this stuff tonight.
Yeah, and so the idea is that she, you know, I'll just, you know, tell you the end. She winds up voting for it. Charles Bear votes against it to reassign it to the security and the MLK and Davis Highway. Amy Toodle, who's the Public Works Director, explained that the point is he got a couple of years And if we put this money in now towards kind of studying the issue, then on MLK and Davis, then eventually when time comes for FDOT to resurface, we might have been able to secure grants enough to fund the redesign, because of neighborhood safety is kind of a big priority these days. And getting people to slow down on those streets for those neighborhoods is an important, it's a thing you can sell. You know, even though the Transportation Planning Organization, TPO, hasn't really acted on a lot of this stuff, not actively, not pushed it up to the priority list where it actually gets funded, even though it is on their list. So that's kind of the theory, is this gives us a chance, a foot in the door to maybe make something happen once eventually FDOT starts doing it. Now, the last piece of this just that I thought was kind of interesting is talking about the City Hall security upgrades. You know, you saw Channel 3 talking about that last week and interviewing some people to give you some details about what they're trying to accomplish. And, you know, I know Charles Baer says, I don't understand why we're spending money to protect us when we're not spending money on the homeless people. Short version of his explanation. But Tim Kinsella, Lucky, former CEO at the base and many other things, he kind of explained where this came from. It was his recommendation, and the why here is pretty important.
I actually added this when I was doing the transition committee report. This was something that I brought to the mayor's attention, securing the building. And it was in direct relation to my experiences on the base. And the after-action report from that event on the base, everything that was a contributing factor to that event is a glaring issue in our building.
Yeah. So you remember how we had a terrorist attack on the base and we had 3 people killed and a bunch of people wounded, and then they did all kinds of evaluation of security on the base, right? Of course. And of those buildings. And those buildings, like where NetSafa's at, that has all been, a lot of that has been hardened and changed the way they allow access. It's different now, okay? That's where the foreign students are. But, I mean, across the base, you know, a lot of things change. And Kinsella says, you know how we had problems on the base that we had to tighten up? Well, City Hall is a porous sponge of access. I mean, it's the short version of what he's saying. And we need to have better security here, and that's why I recommended these changes. At which point you say, uh-oh. Okay? Because he's right. You know, he's right. City Hall is not secure. I'm not saying the Board of County Commissioners building is secure, but it's more secure if you've ever gone there, you know. So that's where they're going. They voted 6-1. Charles Baer voted against. And I just thought, you know, it's a little late in the game to be arguing about the ARPA money at this point. But also, can somebody please invite Charles Baer to some things? Make him feel included and meet with him, you know, because he is a city council member. You know, if that's a problem, meet with him. But also, sir, do it, you know, talk in private, you know, better than going and complaining in front of the city council meeting. 526 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
With Cybersecurity Awareness Month winding down, LifeLock wants to remind you to update your software. These updates are used to patch up security issues that identity thieves can exploit to gain access to your personal info. But for comprehensive identity theft protection, there's LifeLock. LifeLock alerts you to more uses of your personal info and fixes identity theft issues that arise. Start your 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use my name as your promo code, Clay.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2x Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
You're listening to the National Association of Broadcasters Marconi Award Media Market Station of the Year.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
My mommy always said there were no monsters, no real ones, but there are.
Yes, there are. There.
Good morning, 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, man, did you watch any of the World Series last night? Excuse me, did you watch any of the Dodgers game last night? I have heard rumors that the New York Yankees are also playing in this World Series, but I'm not sure that anybody is able to confirm that. Good Lord, Freddie Freeman Good Lord. So I didn't realize that he was on a home run hitting streak in World Series games going back to the last time they won a couple of years ago. But he hit a home run in the first inning, a two-run home run that put them on top. And they wound up getting a couple runs later, which they needed because the Yankees got two runs in the ninth. But Freddie Freeman is now all three games of this World Series has got a home run. Five games in a row hitting home run in World Series going back to the prior series. That is now tied George Springer of the Astros for his amazing record in that regard. And now if Freddie hits another one and they win tonight and sweep, who do you make the MVP? I'm not really sure. Yeah, who do we pick? 437-1620, 437-1620. Let's see, what else do we have going on this morning? That is not even remotely my show prep. That is like, you'll laugh. On my computer, I have to go grab like the what happened this day in history, and that's always from the last year or two or three ago, same date. Okay, so I pulled up a 2021 show prep for October 29th. This is like weirdly huge and tiny news all at the same time. Have you ever gone to a McDonald's and wanted to get an ice cream? And have you ever been thwarted in that goal? Your mic is off, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, and yes, and yes.
We all have been, right? Everybody, can I have an ice cream? Not today, sir.
Oh. Our machine's broken.
Yeah. 15% of ice cream machines across the United States aren't working today in McDonald's, which strikes me as low.
That's very low.
I think the odds are worse than that. I feel like you'd be happy to get it to coin flip status, right? Well, part of the problem apparently is that there was this proprietary agreement of who was able to service these machines, and there was an app to like bypass them, and then there was a lawsuit over whether the franchise owners could use this app to service the machines on their own, to do business. And U.S. Copyright Office has actually given a victory to the franchise owners that they are allowed to use this other device. The short version is McDonald's operators can repair their own McFlurry machines. Woohoo!
News. I'm Chris Foster. A week to go, Vice President Kamala Harris holds a campaign rally tonight at the Ellipse in Washington, D.C., where former President Donald Trump addressed supporters before the Capitol riot in 2021. Trump in Atlanta, Georgia last night.
Everything from what I hear is it's not only going to be a victory, it's going to be a big, fat, beautiful victory. That's what we're doing.
Harris in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
One of the reasons we will win is because we are all in this together.
More than 46 million Americans have voted early. Voters in Vancouver, Washington can check online to make sure their ballot's been received. Someone's burned ballots there and in Portland, Oregon.
Fire suppressant inside a drop box in Portland, saving all but three ballots from a blaze, but hundreds of ballots were destroyed by a fire at a drop box in Vancouver when the suppressant wasn't effective. A similar device was found by a drop box in Vancouver earlier this month.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Beautiful morning out there. Clear skies, 64 degrees in Pensacola. Well, it's air show week. NAS Pensacola's homecoming air show kicks off this Friday morning. Thousands of people are going to be headed on board to watch that show. Captain Terry Shishatti stopped by News Radio 92.3 yesterday to talk about that. He says it's important to remember there's a few things you can't take on board.
So definitely no weapons, and then weapons of any kind. So no mace, no firearms. Obviously, right. That's bad. Knives. Just please don't bring anything that can be construed as a weapon. All right, or else we're going to ask you to go home.
Not
we don't
in the glove box, not
nothing.
In the waistband, not in the trunk. Take it out of the vehicle.
Not on a federal installation. So.
And again, a few other things you can't take on board NAS Pensacola, coolers, umbrellas. They do advise you to take a chair. The event's going to go on for several hours. They want to make sure everybody stays to enjoy the entire thing. The homecoming air show will feature both our Navy Blue Angels and the Air Force Thunderbirds this year. You can see them both also in that Super Delta formation flyover across the area. And that'll be tomorrow morning at 11:30. A Gulf Shores man is charged with attempted murder. This is after a shooting on River Annex Road. It happened Monday morning. Deputies say 43-year-old Grant Bieber shot into a home with a victim inside. Nobody was hurt during that incident. Bieber is being held in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. Yesterday, we told you about that horrific crash in Okaloosa County on Highway 98 involving several teenage high school students. And Okaloosa County Sheriff Eric Aiden commenting on that crash.
I've never seen carnage like that, where people walked away or even escaped with their lives in a crash like this before. It's pretty brutal.
And one of those students, or one of those teenagers rather, was a student at Destin High School. The principal there says they had grief counselors on hand. Now, none of those teenagers have died. They've all survived that crash. Florida is being sued over its attempt to reduce the time kids spend on social media. The Computer and Communications Industry Association and NetChoice sued the state yesterday over HB3, which is set to take effect in January. It prevents kids under 14 from opening social media accounts. Kids 14 and 15 could do so with their parents' consent. The CCIA says the law violates the First Amendment. The plaintiffs say they prefer the state let parents decide which speech and websites their minor children access online. And help now available for first responders around the state that are struggling with mental health. Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody announcing yesterday that the First Responder Hope Line is available in all counties across the state. She says the Hope Line provides life-saving assistance 24/7 to first responders and police officers struggling with PTSD and other issues. The Hope Line started about 4 years ago in 5 counties around the Tampa Bay area. It's now it expanded to 11 counties last year. You can access that Hope Line by calling 866-4FL-HERO. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 65 degrees in Pensacola, 66 in Gulf Breeze. It is 62 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. And I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. UPMC is boosting compensation for entry-level registered nurses to $52.17 an hour by 2027. That's a 20% increase and nearly $9 more an hour than local competitors pay. The hourly wages only apply to bedside nurses working in urban hospitals, but all 23,000 UPMC nurses in Pennsylvania, New York, and Maryland will see the same pay increase. Apple has announced an updated iMac with the latest M4 chip. It starts at $1,299 and is available to order ahead of its release on November 8th. In the June quarter, Apple reported $7 billion in Mac sales, which is up about 2% year over year. Bitcoin briefly climbed above $70,000 as investors braced themselves for MicroStrategy earnings and counted the days until the U.S. presidential election. The price of Bitcoin was last higher by about 3% at $69,925. That's according to Coinmetrics. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Tune in today to the Pensacola Expert Panel when guest Andrea Krieger, Executive Director of Institutional Development from Pensacola State College, will be on the show talking about the IMPSC campaign, a heartwarming initiative designed to uplift their students and provide crucial scholarships as they celebrate 75 years of academic achievement and community impact. You won't want to miss this show. That's today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with guests from Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Oh, yes. It is time, we're going to talk air show stuff with the boss, not of the Blue Angels, the other boss, the boss of the base, who will have all of the questions and answers for you that you're going to want. We have Village Captain Terry Shashetti, the commanding officer at NAS Pensacola, is here in studio with me this morning. Village, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. It's always good to see you.
Yes, and especially on this awesome week. It's air show week.
I know. Although, can I start with disappointment?
What? What do you got?
You're not wearing your Jay Gosling special.
Oh my! We
SH
call it an
suits.
SHB yeah. suit. No, no. Today I am wearing just
what's
a normal.
What's that stand for?
Well, not do that on
things.
The radio.
Yeah,
don't
right.
get me in trouble.
Desert,
I've made it this far without saying something bad on the radio. No, this week I'm wearing just my normal flight suit because I'm sporting a really cool patch that we broke out just for the air show. This is our 2024 Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show patch. So when you take a look at it, if you see it online, it is Jay Gosling. That is the mascot of NAS Pensacola, and he is breaching the atmosphere because it's helping us kind of signify the theme of this year's air show, which is celebrating one small step, which is the 55th anniversary of the lunar landing where Neil Armstrong took that one step for mankind.
I love this redesign. And before we got on the air, you were telling me that the redesign actually is unique because it was not just some artist that got commissioned for it.
A firm. So that was one of our sailors. One of
so
our
cool.
sailors, we ended up just having her kind of go and kick around some ideas. And we, in essence, had a committee that kind of picked that one as the best one. So,
oh, it's fantastic. I
yeah,
love it. And yeah,
she
I saw the new
job.
Video you posted this morning of the... well, looks like maybe it's sort of a flight suit, like a moon suit. Maybe
yeah, a little moon suit with some
duck
feet.
Legs.
Yeah, yeah,
duck feet.
So my PAO team, Public Affairs Office, and the whole team over there has been doing a great job helping pump up the air show. Mm-hmm. I don't think they need to because we got the Thunderbirds
it's
coming.
It's only going
to
be 250,000 people on the base. Yeah,
it's going to be awesome. We're going to have a good time this week. But they've been teasing it appropriately throughout the last couple of months. And this, if you looked at it this morning, you saw some footprints. In the moon dust there, so
yeah,
really,
I like
really
the little
cool.
three-part toe.
Yeah, yeah, pretty cool
stuff. Kind of cool. Well, also here in studio, you mentioned Bruce Kamins is also here. He's not talking because his throat's not helping him today.
He's trying to keep me out of trouble. That is,
which
so.
I think is it. Really, it's Bruce's best comment series so far.
Yeah.
Get me later for that. No, Bruce is fabulous. He's the PAO for the base. But we also have Command Master Chief Jim Wallace with us. Command Master Chief, welcome to the Pensacola Morning. First time for me, anyway, to have you on the air. Have you been on the radio before?
I have, but not here. But good morning, and thank you for having me as well.
It's great to have you. Okay, so this is not a tenant commands, although before you retire, we have to have you in to do tenant
yes,
commands.
Yes, we'll do that.
We'll
do that.
But for people who don't know, and that's going to be a lot of people, what's the CMC's job at NAS Pensacola?
Oh, yeah. So I'm the senior most enlisted sailor for the installation, and I advise the boss on policy and things that affect the sailors and Navy families around the installation.
So, Andrew, I'll say it a better way. So we call it, well, we call it a triad for a reason.
I was going to say the triad,
so myself,
right?
My executive officer, and then my command master chief. So when you talk about right-hand man, he is my right-hand arm, fist, leg, everything to help kind of give me guidance and advice, especially when it pertains to our sailors.
He's the implementer of all of the policy and the overseer and the
correct.
Liaison and the receiver of the complaints and the, all of the things to work with the enlisted, which is the vast majority, of course, of
to
the personnel.
To make sure that I'm doing it right for the sailors, absolutely.
Yeah, true.
Perfect. So let's talk air show for a second.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is the thing that people have questions about. The first question is, let's talk about what they shall not bring.
All right.
Because there's a lot of shall nots, and I'm getting texts all the time. You know, can I bring a cooler? Can I bring a baseball bat? Can I bring an umbrella? Can I bring a big telephoto lens? Can I? Okay.
So, yeah.
Shall not.
So definitely no weapons, and then weapons of any kind. So no mace, no firearms. Obviously,
right.
That's bad. Knives. Just please don't bring anything that can be construed as a weapon. All right, or else we're going to ask you to go home.
Not
we don't
in the glove box, not
nothing.
In the waistband, not in the trunk. Take it out of the
not
vehicle.
Not on a federal installation. So you mentioned coolers. No, no coolers, please. Umbrellas. So I know it's going to be hot, so wear your sunscreen. But we don't allow umbrellas for two reasons. One, they could become missile hazards if the winds kick up. Mm-hmm. And then two, it's going to obstruct somebody's view.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure you don't end up bringing an umbrella or something like that. But yeah, I mean, if you know, if you can't get through the airport with it, you can't get through the screening process, which everybody will go through. They will go through a metal detector to make sure that when they get through on the flight line, we have a safe and enjoyable experience for everybody that's on board.
So chairs, portable chairs, yes.
Yes, yes. Please chairs, bring chairs.
Of course, because you're going to be there for hours and hours.
I hope so. I hope you get there early, and that's one thing I'll end up saying. So the gates open at 8 a.m.
Both gates.
And both gates
are going to be drive-through, right?
Correct. They're going to be drive-through.
So no IDs, no checking, stopping.
Thanks for saying that. You will need a photo ID if you're 18 years or older to get through the screening process. Not through the gate, but when you go through the screening process, you will need to show a photo identification if you're 18 or over.
And for if people who have not been on the base in a while, or maybe ever, that does mean that both the Navy Boulevard side and also the Blue Angel side, the back gate, both are going to be open.
No, that is correct. And we're doing something a little bit different because the goal today is get everybody on the base as quickly as possible. Just get them on the flight line. Open the pipeline. And then we're going to do the same thing on the way out.
Yeah.
Right? We want to make sure get them in, get them out safely.
Because it's a lot of people to process in and out.
We're expecting it.
In connection with that, I want to talk about something, which is you're going to be closed on Wednesday?
Thursday.
For Halloween, you're closed Thursday.
Yes. So we're doing something a little bit different. It's a little bit of a community outreach. We ended up reaching out to all of the public schools, not only in Escambia County, but Santa Rosa County, Baldwin County, Okaloosa County, and a couple of other organizations. So it's another practice show on the base, but we are closing off to the public. All right, and we're allowing all of these students to kind of get their own air show.
That's so cool. What a great idea.
So part of this year's air show, like I said, is celebrating one small step.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of STEM organizations coming, so science, technology, engineering, and math. So we're hoping that not only during an awesome air show that they can experience, they get exposed to some of these things that make those things go fly. So really excited to have all these students on board. Again, it's the first year we're doing it, so we're going to learn. We're going to learn, hopefully, to do it better next year. But great opportunity for those kids, something that the team has been putting together not only all year, but this has been a discussion for almost the 3 years I've been on board to make sure that we have that opportunity for the kids.
No, it's excellent. We've got Commanding Officer of NAS Pensacola, Captain Terry Village-Shashati here in studio with me, Command Master Chief Jim Wallace. No call sign, right?
Yeah, no call sign.
See, not an aviator because not an officer, right?
Correct.
Generally, I mean, most always. Oh, this is kind of cool. I don't know whether you knew this or not, but I just got a note from somebody who served on the Forrestal.
All right.
And 100 USS Forrestal former shipmates are having a reunion at the air show this year.
Oh, nice.
And especially visiting sailors that survived the fire back in 67. So that's, I mean, all kinds of people.
Well, if you're an aviator on a carrier, you know about the Forrestal. So if I get around and walking around, if you see me, come and grab me because I'd love to meet, introduce myself to all of you.
Absolutely. As a regular listener, I know he will. Let's see. Oorah, Master Chief.
Oorah.
Okay. Oorah. I can never
keep which one straight.
I don't know.
Grunting.
And I feel like I'm going to say it wrong, so I just don't say it.
Yeah, for
Navy,
you're good.
For Navy, it's?
Hooyah.
Hooyah.
Yeah. For Marines, it's Oorah.
And for Army? Who cares?
I don't even want to attempt to try and do the Army.
It's not waterborne, so why does it matter?
Sound? I don't know.
The flyover.
Yes.
That's going to be Wednesday at 11:30.
Yes. So another awesome thing that kind of got put down, I want to say last second, but it's been in talks, but it got confirmed just last week. Everybody knew during COVID how the Blues and the Thunderbirds ended up doing what we call the Super Delta. Mm-hmm. Well, they will not be doing it during the show, so I apologize for all those that were expecting that. They're going to have two separate shows. Awesome shows at that.
I get that question all the time.
I know.
Are the Blues and the Thunderbirds going to be dogfighting? Like,
Blue
Angels
would be cool.
And
that
the Thunderbirds,
cool.
They practice each for about 2 months in the winter just to learn how to do a completely preset demonstration safely.
Yes.
There is 0% chance that there's going to be any interactive flying like that.
With the main teams, absolutely. Yeah. But on Wednesday, right around 11:30, they're going to join up together. I don't know exactly where, whether it's going to be overhead Naval Air Station Pensacola or whatnot, but they're going to be basically doing their beach run starting about 11:30 to 12:30. So you talk about an opportunity. Get outside. One, go for a walk. Get some lunch outside. But go look up in the skies as they go across the beach. They're going to be coming down Palafox, I believe.
Yeah. I saw the note said 11:30, but then it gave to me the backwards route. It was Johnson Beach, Pensacola Beach, and Oriole Beach, and then Palafox. but that's the exact backwards of how they normally run it. Bruce, I know you're not feeling up to talking, but do we know the route? Do we know the time? Is it at 11:30? We're just not really sure. It's so, TBD.
Between 11, the window is 11:30 to 12:30.
Okay, so not right at 11:30 necessarily.
So I'll say this: if we get more fidelity, we'll end up pushing that out. But it has to do with when they arrive.
Okay.
So there's definitely going to be some. Not spur
things
of the moment,
can shift. Okay,
absolutely. So we'll try to refine that window for you. But between 11:30 and 12:30 is when you're going to end up seeing that super delta take place.
And also worth noting, one of the issues, because people think, oh, why can't they just fly together? Well, they don't speak the same language in terms of they don't give the same kinds of commands. It's Air Force and Navy. Yeah. Okay, so they can work together in the battle space when they need to. But these teams have different verbal commands, different cadences, different radio channels, like everything is not meant to work together exactly.
Yeah.
And so just getting them to be able to fly together is logistically a challenge.
Deal. Yeah. So that had to get approved by some higher levels in the both the Air Force and the Navy. So that's not a normal occurrence. So to be able to get this experience, you talk about like a good deal. This is a good deal.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But as far as when the air show actually happens on Friday and Saturday,
yep.
Still no night show, fingers crossed for the future.
Yeah. Not this time.
We love the fireworks behind the Blues. I was talking to somebody yesterday who's like, there was a night show. I'm like, yeah, years ago. And they're like, I don't even remember that. I'm like, well, you know, things change, right?
Yep.
So, but the Blues always fly at 2.
Correct.
Unless, you know, asterisk, of course, just in case. But Thunderbirds are flying at?
12 o'clock on Friday and Saturday. So those are the times. Everything else is kind of spaced around the Thunderbirds and the Blue Angels. So we wanted to make sure everybody knew the, I don't want to say the headliners, but the headliners.
Right, absolutely.
Although we have a unbelievable stack of performers, both on the ground as well as in the air.
F-35.
So we got the Air Force F-35s, the Navy F-35.
Oh, really? I forgot about that.
You talk about a stacked lineup. I probably need to get the list out here, but it's going to be an awesome thing. But we wanted to make sure everybody knew when the Thunderbirds were, as well as the Blue Angels. So 12 and 2 o'clock. So if you want to know the performers, go on the website and social media. We're pushing that out.
Right.
Constant
information on the Facebook page at NAS Pensacola.
And that website is www.naspensacolaairshow.org. Just remember that's a .org. The social media sites, we have a fairly significant presence on Facebook as well as Instagram, X, formerly Twitter,
right,
and LinkedIn. So check any of those. There's a lot of websites that pop up that want to say that they're the expert on things, but
yeah,
we're the actual real source of information on that. So check those. Once again, that's NASPensacolaAirshow.org.
Very good. That's Bruce, and I can hear your voice, man. But thank you for contributing. Let's see. There was one or two other questions I wanted to make sure to ask you. So in addition to the Super Delta, the Thunderbirds flying at noon, all the stuff around the 55th anniversary, and being closed on Halloween, bring an ID, but they won't have to check it at the gate. No coolers, no weapons, yep, no umbrellas.
Backpacks is another thing.
Small backpacks, not big ones.
So now it depends on if it's a medical bag, right, or
okay,
a necessary bag, that it'll be searched as well. But
okay,
you can't end up walking in there with
They can bring waters. You don't want the oversized. They can't bring any water, like even a bottle of water. You don't want that.
Like I said, think of it like you're going through the airport.
Okay, so it is more restrictive than that. Okay.
Yes.
I'm glad you said that because I did not know that was the case, so always good to ask. Any last things on the air show? Because I do have one other question I wanted to ask you about something completely unrelated to the air show, but I know you want to talk about it, so.
No, I'll just, like I said, we ended up talking about the things not to bring,
Bruce and sunscreen.
Bring sunscreen.
Yep. And a jacket. Because you never know. It seems like
in the morning it's going to be a little cool.
The homecoming show often seems to be very cold. Well, I don't know that it will be this week.
Now, knock on wood, the weather forecast looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
But again, think about it like you're going to the airport. Whatever you can or cannot bring through the screening process is almost the same exact thing as what we're doing. So you can't bring a pet. Service animals, yes, but it's got to be, you have its papers
very specific,
and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So things like that. No drones, right? We don't want any drones. Those will not be allowed at not even a little bit.
Somebody says, will there be vendors? Yeah, there's plenty
of
food
vendors.
And
so
drink vendors, lots of stuff. Yeah,
they're going to be all over the place, all over the place.
I have to let you go in just a second. I know you got to go across the street to go to Cat Country. Thanks for coming here first. Joking. They're such good friends. But I did want to just give you 30 seconds. Admiral Franchetti was here in town.
CNO. Yeah, so the chief,
second visit in like two months.
So I'm going to, so my command master chief actually worked with her, so I don't know if you want to end up saying anything. I mean, she loved the visit from what I gather.
Yeah, yeah. CNO Admiral Franchetti and McPond Jim Honea were here. They came and visited the sailors and civilians on board the installation and held some all-hands call, and they absolutely fell in love with Pensacola. This was, you're right, her second visit back in a very short period of time.
McCool commissioning, right?
Correct, yes, sir. Yep. And then this was McPond's first visit as the McPond, and they absolutely fell in love with Pensacola.
What's not to love?
Right, and then we did have kind of an offline conversation about possibly another trip back to spend some more time with the installation.
And she was here for a winging, among other things.
She was, right? A combined winging, both up here from the... naval flight officers here, as well as the helicopter pilots up at Whiting Field.
Right. Yep. Very cool.
Really cool.
Well, Command Master Chief Jim Wallace, Bruce Kamins, who is the public affairs officer for NAS Pensacola, and, of course, Captain Terry Shashadi Village, who is the commanding officer at NAS Pensacola. Thanks for the time. Thanks for putting this on. Thanks for opening your house to us. I know it's like your favorite thing of the year to
go through
all of this work to make Christmas morning for all the rest of us.
Andrew,
so
thank you.
We appreciate it. Yeah, we'll see you Saturday and Friday.
Absolutely. Come on out. Hope to see you there.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. And they do think of it that way. It's like Christmas for us. It's the thing they get to do for us, for the community, to enjoy the base and enjoy the, you know, just the thrill of it all that, you know, in some ways they get to see all the time. But, you know, opening up their house to us. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, you want to figure out a place to go that's going to be reliable, where you can buy a car and have confidence in it, that's not a brand new car, but not a very old car either, that's Frontier Motors. You know, sort of like the Goldilocks of used cars, like, you know, just a couple of years old, 2, 3, 4 years old. I mean, our Odyssey was only a year old with 13,000 miles when we bought it. So, you know, we might get one that's almost new. But, you know, 10 to 50 or 60,000 miles, something that you can drive for a long time. They warranty them to 100,000 miles in 10 years. And the reason they do that is because they are trying to sell you cars that are good quality, that you can count on, that you're not taking a risk on, and that you can drive for a while. And that's why they only buy cars, you know, for sale. I mean, they buy, like, your trade-ins and stuff like that, but they don't resell those to people through them. They sell them to somebody else. The cars that they buy for you are, you know, or me, are, you know, A-quality cars. You know, that's really what they shop for, whether it's from, you know, somebody sells it off of some fleet or off of a, you know, I don't know, comes in off of a an auction. I know ours was a certified pre-owned Honda in Orlando that they couldn't sell at the dealership, and they're pretty tight on their requirements. And so, you know, basically sat on the lot for 90 days, didn't sell, went to auction, came to us in, you know, in Pensacola, and we got a smoking deal on a good car. That's what they specialize in, is really good quality car. 300 cars on the lot, so, you know, trucks and vans and SUVs and a whole variety of things that you can drive. And if you don't find what you want, or you get close and they don't have exactly what you want on the lot, send them looking for it. They go looking for cars all the time for people. No big deal. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Please join Ashner and Avant Health 65 Plus Thursday for Pep Talk. Don Dorman and Sarah Kay will discuss social isolation with older adults during the holidays. Tune in and text or call with your questions for Ashner Navant Health 65 Plus. For more information, find them on Facebook at Ashner 65. That's O-C-H-S-N-E-R 65.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The weather's cooling down, but Gulf Breeze Natural Gas is ready to warm things up when you convert to a natural gas water heater, fireplace, or outdoor fire pit. Not to mention how much better your cooking recipes will taste this fall with a natural gas cooktop. Call 850-934-5108 or visit gulfbreezenaturalgas.com to learn more about service installation and appliance rebates. Gulf Breeze Natural Gas. Your style, your comfort, your energy.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it. Not to mention the fact that you're talking to a dead guy. Now, what do you think? You think I'm qualified?
A
25 lighters on my dresser, yes, sir. You know I got to get paid.
Good morning, 557 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, Elon Musk is being sued by a Philadelphia prosecutor. This is over that $1 million giveaway he was doing for registered voters. Mm-hmm. The Philadelphia District Attorney's Office filed the lawsuit yesterday. They want to stop Musk's America Political Action Committee lottery. Philadelphia's DA is arguing that it could, quote, tarnish the public's right to a free and fair election.
Yeah, one of the less reported on slices of this story is it's not just the $1 million giveaway. They're paying people, I think it's $47 in the five non-Pennsylvania swing states for getting other registered voters to sign the petition, and it's $100 in the Pennsylvania. So it's not just the lottery slice, it's the paying for people to sign the petition that is maybe not itself exactly prohibited, but paying people to register to vote is prohibited. I think it's a legal gray area. I don't think it's necessarily prohibited, but it's an interesting one. What else you got, sir?
Well, quarter pounders are back on the menu at all McDonald's this week after that E. coli outbreak. There was 75 cases confirmed across 13 states in that case, and the USDA has now said the likely source of that was the onions that we'd talked about previously.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. It's never, I mean, you know, cooked meat, it's always going to be the produce, right?
Absolutely. And forecasters now tracking what could potentially become the next tropical depression or storm. The National Hurricane Center says that system is likely to form over the Caribbean here in a couple of days.
I'm not thrilled about this new pattern of having to watch the Caribbean for things.
Constantly,
where the blobs just show up all of a sudden.
Every week.
When they come from Africa, we've got a lot of time and warning to prepare for it, you know?